Getting organized is a means to an end, not an end of and to itself. It's a scaffolding. It's training wheels. Does it have merit and usefulness of and to itself? Absolutely. Saving time? Terrific. That's company resources. That's your energetic resources. There's a ton of great reasons to be more organized for its own sake. But that's like, good metaphor is bodybuilding. If you know anything about fitness, especially in weightlifting, you may know that in the weightlifting community, bodybuilders are often the butt of jokes because the kind of weightlifting that makes you look like that doesn't make you strong. Not as strong as a different style. It doesn't make you strong, but the kind of weightlifting that makes you pretty, according to, you know, the societal standards of what that is not the same as what makes you really, really strong. And if you've never seen the world's strongest man and woman competitions, oh my God, this is a must see. Go YouTube that. And if you look up these, if you look at these people, they're not pretty according to, you know, the standards. They're not Mr. or Ms. Universe looking people. And they're the strongest people in the world because what makes you able to move a, you know, 150-pound tractor tire is not, you know, 100 yards or whatever the crazy things they do. It's not the same kind of training as what makes you pretty. And that's a really good metaphor. Getting organized doesn't necessarily bring you clear-headedness. And there's a correlation, but it's not causal. I can't tell you that if you get 100% on that quiz, that you'll be officially out of overwhelm and I can, you know, give you the clear and open seal of approval. It doesn't work that way. The same way you can go to a gym 2 hours a day and do all sorts of stuff and not necessarily get strong. So you may be asking then the reasonable question then, well, how do I get that thing? Well, before we get to the how, let me talk a little bit about what that is before we talk about the how. Another way of saying it, and I talk about this in the course, I think in module 5, another way of saying it is in the realm of organization, there's an internal component and there's an external component. And the external component has to do with, is there anything on your desk that is talking to you needing to be done something with? Is there something on your desk that you're not working on right now that when you look down, it makes your mind go, hey, don't forget me. Look around you. You know, that's the outside part. Are you emptying your inbox every day? Are your files handwritten or are they typed? Does your email make a sound when it comes in? When you open up the home screen on your smartphone, do you have 25 different badges getting your attention? That's all outside stuff. And when you deal with that outside stuff, it generally correlates with an impact on the inside stuff. But not necessarily. That's the trick. That's the problem. It doesn't necessarily. What's the inside stuff? The inside stuff is that you're only thinking about what you're doing right now. That's a state of mind. And there are outer things you can do that can help precipitate that state of mind. But that's not, I didn't even want to call it a state of mind because that makes it a noun. That's a process you return to again and again and again. The founder of Aikido, a martial art I used to do a lot, was an amazing man who could do amazing things. And he said, my students think I never lose my center, and that's not so. I simply notice more quickly and return sooner. So having this kind of clear mind is a process. Internal things. Only having on your mind what you're doing in this very moment. There are outer things you can do to make that easier. It's basically impossible. If your email makes a noise every time you get it, you're overwhelmed. I don't care what you think about that sound, you're overwhelmed. You don't have to believe me. Turn it off and you'll discover something is different. But you won't discover something is different if you've got 12 other notifications like that and a desk that is covered with so much stuff you forget what color it is. And that's the trick. You won't get this internal place, this openness. You won't be able to get there if you're not willing to try things that don't appear to have a direct cause. And one of the problems in Western culture, we're very direct causality oriented. We want to do X and produce Y result. And you say, oh, well, if you do X, you'll get Y result. Oh, okay, I like that. I'm ready to do X. What result do you want? I want C result. Well, if you want C result, performing A action tends to correlate with C result, but there's no guarantee. Huh, I don't really like that. I'm going to look for another solution where there's more of a guarantee. Okay, good luck with that. But there are certain results that there's not direct things that can produce that. So I can't tell you what actions, what activities in clear workspace will produce this internal result. I don't know what it is. It could be just one thing. It could be just turning the sounds of your email off, get you to that internal open mind state. It could be that it's actually more like 20 different things. It could be in module 3. It could be in module 6. Hopefully it's somewhere in there. I tried to cover enough of the basics so that it's somewhere in there. But I don't know what it is. And neither do you. That's the point I want to make. You don't know either. No, you might. But it's a more productive point of view to come from, I don't know what organizational change in my workspace, in my work life, in my life in general. I don't know what's going to create that shift in consciousness, that clarity of mind, where there's this kind of peace that comes over me, where I feel like I have all the time in the world to do anything I want. That's the kind of place I'm talking about, where every day feels like mine, where I feel like I'm at the center of my day, and whatever distraction comes up, I feel bigger than it is. And I smile at the things talking to me and go, ha, you think you can control me, but that's just not how it works anymore. Where you don't feel dread, you know, when you go 3 hours without looking at your email. It's a different state of being that you can lose and go back to overwhelm, and that's fine. But once you have that experience for enough times and enough duration, once it anchors in you, there's this tipping point when you get over a hump where you've had that experience enough where you're never going to want to go back. Because many people, you could be 40, 50, 60 years old and lived in overwhelm your entire adult life and not known it. Some of you I know for a fact have done that. Some of you have told me. Others of you, I can tell you live that way based on how you move, the look in your eyes, the way you phrase your emails, the way you don't answer direct questions in your emails. That's one of the biggest clues. Overwhelmed people can't answer direct questions in emails because they don't really read the email. If you read an email and you see a question mark and you're really present, you go, oh, a question, that's something for me to answer. But if you're not present, you miss it. So when you achieve, and I don't want to say attain this state, because you can lose it. You can lose it really easily, and there's no problem. Just like the founder of Aikido said, you just return. I get overwhelmed for a couple hours every week. There's no problem with that. But I notice very quickly and return. There's no problem with that. The problem is being in denial of the chronic overwhelm, and then there's nothing, you can't work on it. Nothing can be done there. So when you get this, and some, for all I know, some of you are here already. I don't know. Maybe some people are just naturally really clear-headed this way. It's rare. But here's another way of saying it. When you look around in your office, in the world, when you're riding the bus or walking down the street, if you don't see overwhelmed people all around you all the time, you're one of them. It's really that simple, because that's our world. If you don't walk down the street and see people hurting their necks, looking down at their phones, or like stumbling over obstacles because they're looking at their phones, or you know, missing events around them because they're so distracted, then you're one of them. And there's no problem with that unless you don't realize it. And even then, it's only a problem if you decide it's a problem. So I'm wanting just to invite you into this. It could be that for you, it's a completely different world, one you've never been to. It's that different. And it because it was for me. I was about 10 years ago now, I was a fairly well organized. I wasn't a neat freak. In fact, I tended to be sloppier than most people. Didn't really bother me. I didn't mind dirt. Wasn't a very good cleaner. And I was working on a book at the time, and I was stuck, and I was trying to outline it. Have you ever tried to outline a book? That's not an easy thing. And because you have to have a lot of space in your head to get your head around the whole thing. You know, outlining like a blog, that's a couple of pages. You can hold that in your head pretty easily, but the bigger it gets, the more space you need in your head to get around it. And I was stuck. I could feel it in me, but every time I sat down to outline it, nothing would happen. I would just stare at an empty page. And bear with me, I know some of you probably heard this story, but it fits for what we're talking about here. And I had a client at the time who was studying organization. And he was telling me about this book that he read. And he's like, you got to read this. It's great. It's great. It's great. It's great. And I had this intuition that maybe if I got organized, that I would get unstuck. Didn't really make sense to me. It was just sort of a feeling. So I got the book, and like a good student, like how I want my students to be, I did everything it said. And the thing that changed everything for me, my desk was clean. My email was empty. But the thing I really didn't want to do was organize my filing cabinet. Because I hated paper. I still do. Now I don't use it. That's been my solution. I didn't like the clutter of paper. I didn't like files. I hated my filing cabinet. And it made this horrible squeak when I opened it. I didn't like filing. And I had a file an inch thick of to be filed, which many of you know is a no-no in the organization world. You should not have a to be filed file. If you have a to be filed file or a to be filed pile, what it means is you hate your filing cabinet because you would rather use an intermediary system than actually use your filing cabinet, right? Because you got the thing in your hand. This is touch it once in action. You've got the thing in your hand and you go, oh, this needs to be filed. And then you go, no, I'll just put it on this pile. Or I'll put it in the to-be-filed pile. Why? That's the question, why? Usually, right then and there, you unconsciously go, oh, if I open that filing cabinet, it'll make this horrible squeaking sound, and then I'll be digging around looking for where to put it, or I need to create a file for it, and I don't have any file folders nearby. Maybe I think they're in a pile over there. Something gets in your way. That's why the standard you'll learn about if you haven't already is you have to be able to file something or retrieve a file in less than a minute. And you got to like it. It has to be enjoyable. If you can't file or retrieve a file in a minute or less, it means somewhere in you, you hate doing it, and then you make a pile. That's how it works. So that's what I discovered. And I spent an entire weekend extremely caffeinated and listening to Frank Zappa. I'll never forget because I needed something. That's how my mind works. Frank Zappa is very stimulating music. It's one of those, it's the kind of music you can't do anything else while you listen to it that requires thought. And to me, the idea of cleaning out my filing cabinet was just about the most mind-numbing, torturous weekend I could imagine. But I was committed because I wanted to find out. So the music was loud and my blood pressure was high, and I spent an entire weekend cleaning it out. And I remember having the Avery label templates, and everything was labeled, and it was less than 3/4 full. Oh, and here's the best thing. If you use hanging files, those green hanging files with the hooks, it's one manila folder per hanging file, not two, not three. And most people don't do that. What that does is it makes everything sit at the exact same height. so that when you look at it at like whatever angle you're like, you can see everything. And that's completely different. The moment you add multiple manila folders to one hanging file, they start being at different heights. And that causes overwhelm. Now, this is crazy, right? Are you kidding me, Joseph? You're telling me not only does everything have to be typed, but they all have to be at the exact same row. Hear me. I'm not an anal person. At that time, I was quite a slob. I didn't care. But I did it anyway because I wanted to see what would happen. And I did it. I remember the headache I had from all the caffeine and my neck hurt from sitting on the floor amidst piles of files. And the next day, the outline came. The outline came. It just, now, how do you explain that? How do you explain that? In terms of direct causality, there's no like, organize your files makes books get outlined connection. You can't connect that logically. You can't do that. There's no way of direct causality there. The only way to explain it is to say that the filing cabinet somehow was creating so much static in my head, it was inhibiting that creative process, like rocks on a geyser were making it just kind of a really mellow stream. But when you pull rocks off a geyser, imagine, you know, a geyser that would normally be 100 feet high with, you know, 500 rocks on it, you don't know which rock is going to make that thing gush. You don't know. So if somebody tells you, well, if you get really well organized, it'll change everything. And then you remove one of those rocks and you go, well, nothing happens. See? Well, you got to keep removing the rock. Well, which rock do I remove? I'm sorry, I don't know. Just keep removing all of them. Eventually, you'll find it. But that offends the Western direct causality mind. What, you want me to just do all this work and there's no guarantee of a result? You can't even tell me exactly how to do it? Sorry, no. That's the best I can do. And that's how it works. But really, this is not so different from our experience. It's not like, you know, when you learn to ride a bike, it's like, well, how many times do you have to try to ride a bike before you get it and stop falling, right? How many times does that take? Is there like in the learning to ride a bike manual, is that written down? No, you don't know. How many times do you have to get on a surfboard to try to stand up before you'll stay standing up? You have no idea. Could be the first time, could be not even that day. Maybe not even that week. Maybe you'll never stand up. You have no idea. So then what gets you past that understandable resistance of like, well, if there's no guaranteed result, what's the point? What gets you past that? I hope your hunger and self-interest and desire for this awakening that I call organizational enlightenment with a kind of in quotes. But so going back to the original theme here, remember it's not about getting organized. Cleaning out your email and your files and your desk and all that, those are removing rocks covering the geyser in a kind of leap of faith that one of those things is going to precipitate this breakthrough and your life will never be the same. And you will become more aware, more skilled, and more intelligent because those rocks make you dumb. I guarantee it. One day, I'll add to the course an IQ test or something. You know, some kind of complex problem-solving thing. I don't know. I mean, you need a lot of data to make that actually work. But I've seen this so many times. When people get organized, they get smarter. Because the division of your attention in any one domain divides your attention in all domains. The division of your attention in one domain divides your attention in all domains. I'll tell you a little bit of a personal story if you're into psychology, you'll immediately understand why I'm so passionate about becoming more aware. My father was a computer programmer way back in, you know, the early days of computers. He was a Fortran programmer, if any of you remember what that is or know what that is. He wrote code. So he was like a guitar-toting beatnik guy from the 50s. And but he left his beatnik days behind and he became a computer programmer for a defense contractor. And they wrote code. He was working on what is now stealth technology. So they were firing missiles from California and ditching them in the sea. They were flying them over Hawaii and ditching them in the sea and trying to figure out how to shoot down a missile with another missile. That's what was going on. This is Cold War stuff. And he wrote code in order to interpret the data from the radars. So he was a very liberal guy, a beatnik, and he was working for a defense contractor. And when he retired at around 62, 63, he became a very different person. It was like some light had went on. He was awake in some different way. He was more there. He was more attentive because as a father, in terms of like really being there, no. He. If you spent 5 minutes with him, you would probably describe him as extremely aloof. Not in an arrogant way, just kind of somewhere else. And when he retired, that changed. Not completely, but suddenly he was more there. He was engaged. He was passionate. He created a garden in the backyard of our home in Massachusetts that became so extraordinary in a few years, it was literally in magazines. Yeah, he really just, he enlivened. And I'll never forget this conversation I had with him where I said, "Dad, what happened? You were a guitar-toting, folk-listening to, you know, post-hippie beatnik, and then you went to work for 35 years for a defense contractor. That didn't really fit with your values. How did you do that?" And these were his exact words, which I will never forget. He said, "I took the reality of the situation, and I completely ignored it." That's what he said. And that was one of the primary causes for how he wasn't there for me as a father. Because you can't ignore the reality that you're working for the Cold War while you completely disagree with it according to your own values and not have that spill over into something else that you do, like raising children. It would be great if you could. It would be really great if that were possible. But how you do anything is how you do everything. If you're distracted at work, you're distracted at home. If you waste time reading emails at work, you do that at home. Or you do it somewhere else. And there's no compartmentalizing. It's like the line on a map. You know, when we look at a map at the, you know, the border between Connecticut and Massachusetts, when you go there, there's no, you know, 4 foot thick black line. I remember distinctly as a kid being very disappointed that that wasn't the case when we drove from Massachusetts to Connecticut. So where's the line? I remember that. I was so disappointed that there was no line there because I loved maps as a kid. Thus began my quest for certainty in an uncertain world. So being organized is a kind of awareness practice. That's why I call it a spiritual practice. It's a non-denominational spiritual practice. It's probably the most neutral spiritual practice there is. And you can be of any faith, philosophy, religion, whatever, and be really well organized. But it really is a spiritual practice. And if you don't relate to it as a spiritual practice, it could be that you'll get really well organized and not have this breakthrough. And I really don't want for that to happen. Could be that you don't relate to a spiritual practice and it happens anyway. It just depends. Questions? Comments? Could be about what I've been talking about or something completely different.